You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese. After a late-night meeting Friday, members of the Senate Judiciary Committee emerged with a new version of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which they are now calling the Religious Freedom Protection Act, still House Bill 4012. It's up for a vote in the Senate today, but as Ashton Maher reports, it has significantly changed since its approval in the House.
The bill.
The amendments to the bill.
Yes, sir.
Senator from Morgan.
Senate Judiciary Chair Charles Trump explained the differences between the two bills to members of the body during a floor session Tuesday that stretched well into the evening.
Let me disabuse everyone of any illusion that this will be quicker than reading it.
Trump went through the bill section by section. Under the committee version, the bill maintains the four-step judicial test members of the House intended to codify, a test that's used in cases where a person claims his or her religious beliefs are being substantially burdened by government action. But the Senate bill removes the ability for a plaintiff to receive any monetary award if he or she wins a suit. The bill adds language to protect churches and religious officials from being compelled by the government to perform any service or ceremony or recognize any marriage that goes against their faith. It also, through a new section, makes it clear that the intent of the legislature is not to allow the bill to be used to discriminate. Republican Senator Ed Gonch is the only member of the chamber to have previously expressed support for the bill on the Senate floor. Tuesday, he attempted to amend the bill, restoring it to the House-approved version.
That body deliberated hours in committee and on the floor. They voted 72 to 26. I think they produced a very good bill. A bill that I don't think needed fixing.
His amendment was rejected and senators stuck with the Senate committee version. That is, until an amendment was offered by Democratic Senator Corey Palumbo. His change added language to the bill that non-discrimination laws and ordinances, as well as laws that require children to have certain vaccines, cannot be challenged under the bill.
This will make clear it cannot be used as a sword to try to invalidate those ordinances. But once again, if you're inclined to want to discriminate in West Virginia, you can still use Article 3, Section 15 of our Constitution to do your discriminating. You just can't use this bill.
Article 3, Section 15 guarantees religious freedoms in the state. Members on both sides debated the amendment. Many, including Trump, called the provision unnecessary, but it was Republican Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael whose emotional floor speech grabbed the attention of the body.
This issue's not easy. And I rise in support of the gentleman's amendment. I prayed for clarity, wisdom, and discernment on this. I believe in the goodness of people. I just think this sends the wrong message, Mr. President. I think we need to value the human dignity and the goodness in people. And I don't want us to go down this path. I just don't.
Palumbo's amendment to include the non-discrimination ordinance protections was adopted on a vote of 23 to 11. The amended version of the bill is up for a vote in the Senate today. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
West Virginia University will have a new mascot later this afternoon. The selection process includes an application, an interview, and a cheer-off. One of the now four finalists is Wyoming County native Savannah Lusk. She's a coal miner's daughter and the first in her family to go to college. Lusk would be the third woman Mountaineer if she's chosen. Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly spoke with Lusk last year and checked back in with Savannah shortly after the cheer-off to see how she's handling the competition.
So you're trying out for the Mountaineer mascot. That's so exciting. Now, when we talked over the summer, you mentioned that you might do this, and you were like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it, and you're totally doing it. What made you decide to take that plunge to do it?
I had honestly decided a very long time ago, but when me and Michael visited my old middle school, and I saw the way he interacted with the kids, and I even saw how the kids looked up to me. And I can just remember being in that position and being from a small school like Herndon, and the way that they looked at him and looked up to him, he was a role model to them, and I really wanted to be that for someone. So I thought that the Mountaineer would be a great way to do that, among other things that I'm really interested in accomplishing.
I want to read a quote that was brought to my attention online. It says, "As the Mountaineer, I would strive to embody the passion, tenacity, and virtue of the people of West Virginia. Becoming the mascot and serving Mountaineer Nation would be the ultimate testament of my devotion to my state. I feel as if this was meant for me." How would you feel? What happens if you are named next mascot?
If I win this, I'm going to hopefully bring a whole new dimension to the Mountaineer, in a way where I really truly interact with the state and embody the state and serve the state. And that's my goal. I really do want to make my county proud, and I do want to be a role model for the kids, especially where I'm from. And if I get this, I'm going to put everything I have. There's a quote, the Mountaineer Creed, that we have at the university, and it lists, you know, all these things that a Mountaineer should do, and at the end of it, it basically says, "And I'll give my all, everything I have, my intelligence, everything to these standards of excellence." And that's what I want to do as the Mountaineer.
Just to touch on the possibility that you might not get it, what has this experience been like as far as trying out for the mascot and reaching for that goal? Have you learned anything from that?
I've learned a whole heck of a lot. After the cheer off, I kind of thought about what it would be like not to get it. I allow myself. And I learned that, you know, no matter what happens, is that you don't need a position. You don't need some sort of grand title to make a difference in your state. And I've tried to convey that and tried to help out as much as I could to inspire the kids. And I think I've done a pretty decent job. People told me I've done a decent job. So what I just want to take from this, because I don't take losing very well, I don't like to do it, but what I want to take from this experience if I lose is that no matter what, you don't need a title to represent your state and help them out. You don't need some sort of accountability towards the state to help them out. Every single one of us can be our own version of the Mountaineer if we want to, if we choose to. And representing your state, you don't have to have a certain higher calling. You don't have to have any sort of special, any type of quality about you to help the state and uplift it and impact those around you. You just have to be you. And that's what I really need to get in my head, that no matter what happens here, I can still make a difference. And I need to make a difference, because that's my calling from God, and that's my calling as a West Virginia resident of this state.
Well, Vanna, you've inspired me every time I speak to you. You always put a smile on my face, and we always have a nice giggle. And representing the state, not only the state, but also my home county as well, Wyoming County, very well. And I wish you all the best. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
That was Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly speaking with Mountaineer mascot finalist Savannah Lusk. The three other finalists are Ethan Ball from Princeton, Troy Clemens from Greenbrier County, and Aaron Cox from Wexford, Pennsylvania. The next Mountaineer will be named this afternoon at the WVU Texas Tech basketball game. Tip-off is scheduled for 2 o'clock this afternoon. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all of the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. And we're interested in your comments, so make sure you send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. You can follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Mercer University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. And I'm John Cantese. Have a good morning.